Welcome to the Hibernacle. This is our winter retreat where we pretend the outside world doesn't exist for a while. I'm Lisa Sykes, editor of the Simple Things magazine, and I'm here with Bex Frank, our wellbeing editor. We're wearing our jolliest jumpers and eating good cake. How are you feeling now January's behind us, Bex?
Hi, Lisa. Oh, I'm glad to get January done and dusted, aren't you? It's such a long month. And I'm feeling more positive about February. I've got some nice things to look forward to.
Good. Yes, me too. And this is episode 3 in our search for small ways to thrive in winter. And our theme this time is cheer. We're looking for reasons to be cheerful and the simple things that make midwinter that bit more merry. One thing that always cheers me up is a real fire. So it's very pleasing that this season of our podcast is supported by Charnwood Stoves. They're a British family-owned company based on the Isle of Wight who make elegant and eco wood-burning and multi-fuel stoves. I've got one and I love it. Check it out on charnwood.com to read more and find a local stockist near you. And thanks to them. So, Bex, here we are at the beginning of February. The long month of January is finally over. But the month of winter still to come might be short, but it's certainly not sweet. It's still very dark and cold out there, isn't it?
Yes.
We're all in need of some small pick-me-ups. I know I am. And a few years ago, do you remember, we printed a series of postcards with, and they had like mantras for life chalked on blackboards.
Oh, yeah.
And the one I've got propped up on my desk at this time of year is, sometimes you just have to make your own sunshine. What do you think, Bex? What will you be doing this month to cheer yourself up?
That's perfect, isn't it? I will be making my own sunshine by, well, I'm trying to eat lots of good mood foods and I'm trying to get out as much as I can and get a bit of nature fix during each day and just go back to sort of being a bit more sociable and hanging out with my friends.
Nice. And so good food, are we talking comfort food? Are we talking hearty stodge?
a bit less so this month, I think. I'm looking at the foods that actually really will kind of help me to feel happier. There are food, you know, food does actually have a direct effect on your mood and your positivity. So I'm choosing things that try and keep my energy levels a bit more constant so I don't get that slump. And just make me feel a bit brighter when I wake up in the morning.
Does that mean bright foods?
It does, actually.
Because my mum used to make me eat carrots, right? Even though I wasn't a big fan because, I quote, it puts some colour on your plate. Was she right?
She is right. Yeah, I love carrots, actually. So think about, I think that's a really good point. It's just eating the rainbow. You might have heard that expression.
Mm-hmm.
So try to have as much variety. Thinking about adding foods in rather than taking foods out. I don't really like depriving myself, but by adding in...
Oh, it's not the time of the year to go on a diet, is it?
No, definitely not.
I mean, you know, even if you do diets, this is not the time of year to do that. But what you're saying is that you've got to think about the food you are putting on your plate.
Yeah, and I think if you think about putting in more of the foods, so more fibre, more protein, more of the healthy omega fats that are good for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You've got suddenly this plate that looks quite full, and you're not going to be hungry afterwards, and you're not going to be wanting those things that you would traditionally cut out. I think they are just less appealing. So I'm finding that I'm feeling a lot fuller from just eating more of the good stuff, really.
But this time of year, you know, I know what I'm like. You're working at home, you're kind of hungry because it's colder, and so you're using more energy to presumably just to keep warm, especially if you haven't got your heating on all day. And then you think, oh, it's 11 o'clock, I'm feeling really peckish, and you walk to the fridge and eat some cheese or grab a biscuit, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Working from home is a nightmare for that. But I honestly say that, so today I had a big bowl of yogurt. Sorry, it was a Birkin muesli with yogurt. And I filled it up with, I put loads in there. I put some banana in there, put toasted walnuts in there and sprinkle anything I can kind of find, sprinkling to give it a bit of crunch. And I'm not having that morning hunger pang. And that, I think that's the thing, as well as getting all those extra nutrients and the fiber and the protein that keep you full, you're getting the nutrients, but you're also just not getting the other stuff that the biscuits that I would be that I would be going for.
So, you know, protein, I'm guessing you're not really meaning a bacon sandwich, are you? But presumably eggs are all right, are they?
I do love a bacon sandwich, don't you?
I do love it. But I guess it's an occasional treat. It's not...
Definitely.
You can't have it every day, can you?
And that's absolutely fine. No. But an egg, yeah, I love an egg I like an egg in a pita bread, actually.
Oh, nice.
I eat a lot of eggs or an omelettes.
I had boiled eggs and toasty soldiers this morning. Actually, yeah,
nice. Yeah, that's a family favorite.
But the thing is, so if you eat the protein, what you're saying is by mid morning you're not going to be as hungry.
Protein definitely does help fill you up.
And presumably that cheers you up.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about ways to cheer yourself up. So if you're feeling full, you're feeling happier, right?
Yeah. And that definitely has worked for me because I wasn't eating enough of it. So I think it's looking at what you're eating, trying to get that balance that you've got all those different things on your plate. Lots of colourful fruits, lots of different veg, chop them up, have them in the fridge, have things ready for when you want to go and, you know, when you're hovering around the fridge, like we just said we do. And then, yeah, you're definitely going to be fuller and happier for longer. And I've noticed that you get a real sort of slump after lunch, or sort of mine's about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, no, it's that mid-afternoon again, isn't it? Yeah, when you're really tired and yeah.
So it's really good for that.
Lethargic.
Yeah, really good for that as well. I say, you know, sometimes I find if I just have a quick lunch on the run, you know, just make myself a quick sandwich.
Yeah.
I can get that sort of feeling about 2:30, 3 o'clock where I literally can't keep my eyes open.
No, you've got to take time really, haven't you? You've got to squeeze the time to think about what you're having to eat, not just grabbing something.
Yeah.
I think that's
exactly. A little bit of planning is a good thing.
But actually it is true, isn't it, that, you know, food can improve your mood. Because do you remember we did that interview with that Rachel Kelly?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And she wrote a book, didn't she? What was it called?
The Happy Kitchen.
Yes, Happy Kitchen.
The Happy Kitchen. We did the interview and that's actually in the issue of Flourish that's on sale at the moment. It's really interesting. Because she's,
I might just stop you there, Bex, because that sounded like a good opportunity to plug our bookazine. We've got a new wellbeing bookazine edited by Bex called Flourish, and that's out in the shops right now. And it's a sort of anthology of all our best wellbeing features. So anyway, do carry on, Bex.
Yeah, and there's actually the whole section on things that cheer you up as well.
There is.
But yes, Rachel, she really had severe episodes of depression and has really improved and is a complete advocate for the effects that food can have on your mental health. So she worked very closely with a nutritional therapist. And she's written this book, so it's all there for...
There was something in that that interview that really stuck with me, and it was a quote, and it said, if an anxious mind sends your stomach into free fall, and you know that feeling you get when you get a really knotted stomach, like when you've got a job interview or you're nervous about something, it follows that an anxious stomach does the same to your mind.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yes.
I hadn't really thought about it like that before, but it kind of totally makes sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense. And I mean, there is a lot of science behind this as well now, and the link between a healthy gut and a healthy mind. So it's a kind of about feeding your gut and keeping it healthy. Because you know serotonin, which is our happy hormone.
Yeah.
Also in that interview, I read that 90% of the serotonin is made in the stomach.
Wow.
So think about that. So every time you're sort of putting something in your mouth, you know, you're helping to affect your mood and how you feel that day.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we've just done our science bit. But of course, good mood, you know, one of the things that cheers you up is socialising, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And sharing good food is something that's at the very heart of the simple things. I mean, we have a gathering in every single edition, don't we?
God, we've had some great gatherings, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. And do you know what? I was looking at some of the ones we've done at this time of year, and there are some brilliant ideas. One of my favourites was the Scandi Shed. And this was basically, these two women made this Scandinavian kind of winter recipe menu, and it was like smør abroad, you know, the open sandwiches, a really good stew, and glögg, the Swedish equivalent of mulled wine. But they basically styled up their garage to look like a Swedish cabin.
I remember. I love that.
And it was brilliant. You know, they had like cool sheepskins and, you know, nice flowers on a trestle table, and presumably got some heating in there, or a wood burner or something. But it was just a really fun idea. And it's like...
Very cool.
You might not be, you know, actually in snowy Sweden or somewhere, but you can certainly make it feel like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good idea. But we've done some other ones as well. Well, I mean.
Yeah, we have. And I think it's nice to just bring a little twist to it, isn't it?
Yes.
If you think of just having a few friends over, and we did a board game one, I remember. And I really like that because I do love a board game.
Yes. But that's something you see you do with your family without thinking about it. But you might not think to invite friends over to do it. And actually, then you make more of an occasion of it, don't you? And have little finger food. We did it. We did something in there that my girls keep wanting to try. And it's mac and cheese balls. It's basically mac and cheese as finger food.
Yeah.
What's not to like about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a crowd pleaser, isn't it? And we did a book club one as well, which I think is a really nice idea.
Yeah.
I was in a book club, and I do remember that we found it a lot easier to do it at other people's houses rather than kind of going out to the pub to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you order food in the pub, it's kind of coming and interrupting what you're talking about, and, you know, it's quite noisy in there. And I think we used to have it where we... You know, know, we took turns and then someone did the food. And I think one of the ideas in this, in the gathering actually was have pasta bake, wasn't it? Something that you can shove in the oven.
Yeah.
And it's cooking while you talk about the book. And then once you've done that, you can get onto the wine and the pasta.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, we're a long way from any bank holiday. You know, we don't really have any sort of festivals as such for this time of year.
I know.
But we can borrow other people's.
Yeah.
I like the idea of borrowing from other cultures. So I know we've done gatherings for Chinese New Year and Mardi Gras, Carnival, haven't we?
Yes.
We did a really nice Brazilian one last year.
That Brazilian one was great. I really like lots of nice little finger foods. Another family favourite of ours are croquetas.
Nice.
And there was a really nice recipe for Brazilian.
And of course, caipirinhas to go with it.
And caipirinhas, yeah. So,
and wearing really bright clothes. Just actually wearing bright clothes cheers you up, doesn't it? But I know we're going to talk about that a bit later on. So
yes.
we'll leave that for then. And Chinese New Year, this year is the year of the dragon.
Yes, that's right.
In fact, we've got a really good piece on dragons and other mythical creatures in the new February issue, which has just come out. But also in the new February issue, we've borrowed from the Swiss Alps. I don't know whether you've seen this yet, actually, but it's a fondue.
Love a fondue.
And there's something about sitting around a bubbling pot of cheese that must bring a smile to everyone's face, right?
Yes. Surely that's got to be good mood food.
I know. But actually, you can do that for Chinese New Year as well, can't you? Because you can do a noodle pot where you make your noodles in the ramen, isn't it, really?
It's all nice sharing food, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the lovely idea, is having a pot in the middle and some other little plates like the dumplings and all just kind of dipping in together. But I do like the fact that, you know, the Chinese New Year, we've got Valentine's Day, Pancake Day.
Yeah, which can be a bit Marmite, can't it, Valentine's Day?
Oh, Valentine's Day, yeah.
But actually, cooking's a lovely way to show someone you care about them, isn't it?
I think stay in and cook some nice food. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Pancake Day, that's a jolly occasion. That starts your day off right, doesn't it?
Definitely. When else can you eat pancake? My kids love Pancake Day, even though they're all teenagers now.
I know. But also, you could add your protein in there and then you've got the good mood food breakfast as well, haven't you?
Actually, no, that's a good point. We used to do these green eggs. It was a Nigella Lawson recipe, green eggs and ham.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, the kids really like it and still do. But when they were little, it was hilarious because they got green pancakes. Because you mix some pesto into your pancake mix. If you make your own, even more nutritious. But quite often we would be doing the jar version, obviously. But then you mix it all up.
Yeah.
And you've got these lovely green pancakes and you can put a slice of ham in if you want and fold them into kind of little triangles. And they're just quite cute if you want a savoury pancake.
You see, you're not going to be hungry at 11 o'clock if you've eaten that, are you?
No, and then you can have your one with berries and yogurt and you see?
Nice.
That's your breakfast one.
But I think what's really interesting about all these festivals and occasions, they are really good punctuation marks to ease us through February, aren't they?
I think that's what I like about February.
And then before we know it, it's going to be spring.
Yeah, you're edging closer, aren't you? And then you almost, March is there. You're kind of in the waiting room for spring, aren't you?
Absolutely. And you know, there are real well-being benefits of being social and connecting with people, you know, leaving the duvet behind and going out and seeing people, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you it makes you, even when you're kind of laying there thinking, oh, do I want to go out? It's cold. Or
yeah.
You know you're going to feel better. It's a bit like exercise, isn't it? You know you're going to feel better after a night out with your friends.
Yeah.
There is research showing that being with people, connecting with people, laughing boosts all those happy hormones like oxytocin and dopamine, all the things that make you feel really good and makes you healthier as well. Strengthens your immune system, apparently.
And what's that statistic you told me the other day about laughing?
Oh, that we laugh 30 times more with other people than we do on our own.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
So I know you might think you're not going to sit and laugh on your own.
No.
But say, for example, you're watching something funny or you're listening to something.
Yeah.
If you're in a group, it's that thing of laughter being infectious.
I think that's a good time to take a pause while we're thinking about laughing, because we're going to take a small pause now, because in every issue of The Simple Things, we encourage our readers to stop and slow down a little. So we commission an original short story in every edition and an illustration to go with it. So I'm going to read you one now, and I've picked one from last winter that offers a moment of cheer. Star of the Week, a short story by Linda Green. What makes someone a star? Finn asks, gazing wistfully out of the window at the bare ground slowly emerging from under last night's thin covering of snow. I frown at him, unclear what he's getting at. You mean like famous people on TV? No, says Finn. What would make someone like me a star? Only I wasn't picked for Star of the Week last term. When I got one word wrong in my spelling test, Mrs. Cuthbertson told me what the missing letter was, but she hasn't told me what I'm missing to be a star. I glance away for a second, trying not to let him see how much this breaks me. You're not missing anything, sweetheart, I say, reaching out to ruffle his red curls. I expect it's simply a matter of taking turns. Finn doesn't appear convinced and goes back to tracing the droplets of water on the window. What sort of things did the other children get Star of the Week for? I ask gently. Luke Bayliss got one for scoring a hat trick. That means 3 goals. It's got nothing to do with hats. Libby D got hers for going scuba diving when she was on holiday in the Maldives. And Jahanzeb got one for reciting something in Arabic. I nod slowly, aware that none of these routes are open to Finn. What about kindness, I ask. Do children sometimes get it for thinking of others? Because you're good at that. Finn wrinkles his nose, his freckles clustering together as he does so. Not really. Not unless they can't think of any other reason to give it to them. Tyler Jenkins was the last one to get it in year 3, and they said it was for enjoying his school dinners, which made everyone laugh because they knew it wasn't a proper reason, and I don't want to be last, and I don't want them all laughing at me. I want them to give it to me because I've done something special. I pull Finn towards me, wishing I could rub the hurt away like I used to when he fell over and bumped his knee when he was little. It was the thing I hated most about sending him off to school every day, the knowledge that he was on his own without a Teflon coating to protect him. Come on, I say encouragingly, standing up. Pull your wellies on, we're going to go outside. Finn looks at me quizzically, but he doesn't offer up a word of protest. He loves the garden, always has. It's the oasis he comes back to for nourishment when he comes home from school all sad and depleted. I let Finn go ahead of me up the steps to the top of the tiered garden, his yellow wellies a stark contrast to the white of the snow and the dark earth on the least sheltered side of the garden. He stops by the apple tree at the top and waits for me to catch up. I smile at him as I see the colour rise in his cheeks, the life suddenly bursting to the surface. There, I say, pointing at the tiny green shoots poking through the snow. You remember the bulbs that we planted back in November? A smile creeps across his face. Are they my snowdrops? Yes. And when they flower in a few weeks or maybe next month, we'll take a photo and you can show Mrs. Cuthbertson what you grew. You made the world a more beautiful place. How special is that? Finn's smile broadens further still. It's a lot better than enjoying eating chips, he says.
I love that story because being in a hibernacle or a winter retreat isn't, it's not really about not going outdoors, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, getting outside is so good for us, but also you can see what's happening out there and, you know, just maybe you'll see a glimpse of spring, even though it's only the beginning of February.
I feel like every time I go out at the moment for a walk, my usual walk through the field, through with the dogs, I see something different and there's that hope, isn't there? That
absolutely. But you also get to come back indoors and warm up.
Yes, get the fire on.
And here's my sponsor thanks coming up, perhaps by a real fire. So here's a little plug for our lovely sponsor, Charmwood Stoves, whose support has made this possible. And you can check them out at charmwood.com. But yes, so going outside and then coming back and warming up, it's really nice, isn't it? But also, it's actually hardwired into us because just a few days before this recording is released is Imolc, spelt I-M-B-O-L-C. And it's pronounced Imolc as an ancient festival. And I'd never really heard of this festival until a few years ago when we did a whole feature on ancient festivals and how they, the turning of the circle of the year, really. But the 1st of February is like this a really ancient tradition. And it's where there's like an urge to get outside and grow something to cast off winter a little. And it's exactly halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And obviously the spring equinox is when light and dark are in balance.
Oh, I see.
So this really marks the returning of the light.
Yeah.
And a Christian festival that came out of that was Candlemas, and when everyone lights candles and recognizes that light is coming back.
Yeah.
So it all feels really nice. And I feel like I feel like I'm going to do a sort of small act of celebration somehow.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Not, you know, not anything dramatic. Maybe just light a candle and go out for a walk or something. But
I can totally relate to that feeling, though, of, you know, it's the outside pulling me more and more, especially on a bright day.
That's a really nice way to describe it. You're right. If the moment there's a little bit of sunshine, you just want to get out there, don't you, and leave that duvet or that sofa behind.
Yeah.
And it's just a sign, I think. And we should look for more signs throughout the year. And I think it's absolutely a good way to cheer yourself up, isn't it? You know, however much you struggle to force yourself to go on a walk in winter, whenever you do, you come back feeling better, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. And I'd loved seeing the snowdrops come out and even the first daffs. I mean, the Instagram is just snowdrop central, isn't it, at this time of year?
Absolutely. It's no, I mean, all those outside buds and shoots are definitely there. But we also have this urge to grow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you don't have to have a greenhouse. You can plant on your windowsill and you can grow micro leaves. One thing we always used to do, right, because my daughter's birthday is in February, nearly always in half term week. And I used to really struggle when there were little kids about, you know, what you could do, because all the sort of summer activities are just not there, are they?
Yeah, it's a difficult month.
So we used to start off and I used to put loads of newspaper over the table and put a load of compost on there and plant pots and give them all tomato seeds, and they would plant some tomatoes and decorate the plant pots.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
And it became a sort of tradition every year that we started doing that. And actually, it's the right time to plant them indoors, of course.
I bet they loved that, didn't they?
Yeah, you know what? It was really messy.
Yeah.
But also kind of they got to see a tomato plant grow. So
yeah,
it was a nice thing to do. But actually, yeah. So maybe you've got some herbs that have made it through winter. So there are little plants around.
Yeah.
But like you say, Bex, it's when you go outside, you really notice things coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I like just pottering around the garden, sort of on my way out for a walk. I kind of walk down the garden and just do a little bit of tidying up. See a few more little green shoots every day, and sort of we've definitely got some surviving herbs, and I always have this panic of in the winter that things going to come back.
Yeah,
what's it going to look like? It looks so awful for a while, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and then around this time, I start, you know, you can see it's like, oh my god, it's amazing that all that new life.
I know, and then you get pussy willow. I love pussy willow.
Oh yeah,
and I always gather some branches because they nearly always come off in a storm or something.
Beautiful in the house, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have them hanging up, and I had Christmas decorations hung on them at Christmas. And actually, one of the things we're going to be doing in the magazine at Easter is I can't remember the name of it, but it is a tradition from Middle Europe, and it's where you hang decorations off branches of spring buds at Easter. So I'm going to do that this year. But the other thing is forsythia. It's such a bright, jolly yellow, and it comes out so early.
Yeah,
that when you spot it in people's gardens, it's just really nice.
We had some in our garden when I was growing up, and it really reminds me of that yellow is it really makes you smile, the yellow of daffodils and forsythia, and you know, it's a spring colour, isn't it?
Yeah,
an early dose of it.
Absolutely. And I'm not gonna, you know, come over all Alan Titchmarsh but I am gonna do a little gardening tip, because snowdrops, if they've flowered, you need to dig them up, but not until after they've flowered. But you don't wait till, not like daffodils, you don't wait till they've died back.
Oh really?
And you dig them up, and then you can divide them and put them elsewhere, and it's called planting in the green.
Oh, okay.
And you always do that with snowdrops, and then you'll get more next year.
Oh, I've not done that.
Yep, there you go.
I mean, they have spread a lot in my garden actually, but I will do that, because we've just had to have a wall rebuilt, and that's all a bit bare down there, so I might move some snowdrops.
Oh, there you go. Well, wait till after they've flowered.
Yeah.
And more good news, another cheery thing. Hens traditionally start laying again on Valentine's Day.
Do they?
I kept hens for quite a long time. Yeah. Actually, I lost them in lockdown and I haven't got around to having any more yet.
I remember, that's very sad.
But Valentine's Day, I mean, obviously your modern hybrid hens tend to lay all year. But if you like a little fancy breed like I did, they shut up shop in sort of late autumn and don't really kick in again. And it's about the light levels coming back. So that's how you know it's getting lighter.
Well, it is, isn't it? You can notice it, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But those eggs, of course, good for those protein breakfasts that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I've not had hens, but I would really like to be able to go and pick some fresh eggs every day.
Yeah, no, but it is actually, I looked this up the other day, it gets lighter by an average of around 2 minutes every day at this time. Ooh. You can actually see it changing day by day.
No, you can definitely see it. And I thought it was a minute, so 2 minutes, that's cheered me up.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, just over, apparently it's an average of 2:07, I think. There's a bit, seems to be a bit of discrepancy, but you know, we're not to a few seconds here or there, aren't we?
Okay, well, we've got an extra day this month, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
So but I'm with you all the way there about getting out as much as we can, and it really does make you feel better.
And the other thing, of course, when you go out is you hear the birds, don't you? Because the birds are on the move.
Yes.
So what's your favorite garden bird, do you reckon, Bex?
Oh, well, I love a blackbird, to be honest.
Oh, they're really amusing because they're really active, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And we've done a lovely feature, haven't we, on nest boxes?
Yes, in our new February issue, which has just come out.
I really enjoy it because we don't actually have a nest box at the moment, but we've got a couple of feeders and I do enjoy, we have a lot of bird song.
Do you have quite a few cats around you? Because you're in the middle of a city, aren't you? So
yeah, well, we're just on the edge of the city, but we do have cats either side. So I've been a bit nervous about where to put one.
Yeah.
Because we do get cats sitting on our shed roof, kind of surveying. We used to get bird visitors and they come to the, we had a lot of robins coming and visiting and they come to the pond. We've got a pond.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I love a cheeky nut hatch myself because they kind of look like, they remind me of Batman. I don't know why, but I think it's the colour of their plumage is that sort of steely grey blue.
Yeah.
And then they have that black band of black around their eyes like Batman wears. And so it always makes me laugh. And when we used to do Big Garden Bird Watch with the kids when they were little, we always used to call the nuthatch Batman.
That's great.
We didn't record it like that because I don't think the RSPB would have accepted it. But yeah, no, there was some really good advice in this nest box piece because you think you just put up a box, but actually one of the things that birds really need is somewhere that is sheltered and shady. They don't want too much sun and they also need to be out of the prevailing winds. So somewhere that faces east, northeast, because our winds tend to come from the west.
Mm.
And the reason is it's because they want their eggs to stay at a constant temperature.
Yeah.
So if it gets too hot or too cold,
yeah,
it's more difficult for them to hatch their chicks.
And do you have a nest box up?
Yeah, I've got a few actually in my garden, but I need to check if they're facing the right direction.
Well, I was a bit worried about that because of we do get a lot of weather. We face the southwest, but we're on the top of the hill and we do get a lot of those winds and rains coming in.
Yeah.
So I think, but I'm from reading that piece, I was thinking maybe.
But if you can't have them in your garden, there might be a park near you or somewhere that has one.
Oh, do you know, we used to go and watch the peregrine falcons.
Wow.
Especially in lockdown, because there's a big church in Bath. They have a nest box in the spire and you can go, and they had a webcam there for a while.
Amazing.
You can also just go and sit with you quite often see people just sitting. There's a bench on the other side of the river facing the church and people can sit. You can sit with binoculars and you can see them. You can see them without binoculars.
Yeah, I bet.
Sometimes just sitting out there.
Wow, that would be very cool.
Yeah, it was lovely watching the babies.
But the thing is, you know, some days are just really grim, aren't they? And you just don't want to go out at all when it's like that. It's just too cold, too dark, too grey. You know, that's when I find myself looking in the house and thinking, what could I redecorate? Or, you know, what if I move this furniture around? Or could I make a new cushion to cheer myself up or something? You know what I mean? I don't wait till spring. I don't want to wait till spring to do things in my house.
Yeah.
Because you actually spend more time in it in winter, don't you?
Yeah. I'd rather do it in the winter as well because I don't want to miss those first sort of spring warm days.
Absolutely.
I've been repainting. Ooh. I've been decorating and we have gone for quite a bold colour, but kind of calm, but bold green.
Nice.
And it's the room where I work. So I wanted something that was kind of quite calm and would make me feel quite grounded and peaceful, but also I just fancied a splash of colour because it was a bit off-white before.
I think nearly every room in my house has got some colour now.
Really?
Yeah, gradually over the years. We've been in this house about 12 years and I think every winter I've kind of gone, I want to put some colour in this room.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not garish. They're not super bright colours. It's not day glow, you know.
We've always had quite nice, like really bright cushions. People always comment on our bright cushions because, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole, you don't have to redecorate the room. You can just put a pop of colour, can't you?
Yes. But there's something about paint colours that are fascinating because, as you know, Bex, we all work remotely, don't we? So
yeah.
So we talk online.
And we're all obsessed with each other's colour.
Yeah. I know. And whenever someone's like having a meeting and you can see their room behind you, someone always goes, oh, what paint colour have you got on your walls? And then the meeting gets diverted.
Definitely.
And I think that's why paints are so popular, aren't they? Because it's just, it's a way to change the whole look of your a room. And I don't know, it certainly cheers me up. Just planning the decorating cheers me up. Actually doing it is not so much fun, maybe.
I don't know. I quite enjoyed it, actually. I don't know. I think it feels nice that you're making that change. I really have noticed how colours affects your mood. So I don't know, you can choose a colour in the morning, kind of depending on how you want to feel that day. You know, you sort of do it subconsciously, don't you? Sometimes you just reach for a bright...
Oh yeah, I always put a bright jumper on if I've got quite difficult things to do that day.
Do you?
Because I just find it gives me a lift, yeah?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I do as well.
And a scarf's a good thing as well, of course.
Yeah, and it's funny, actually, because I interviewed this colour expert, this woman who, she's a ray of sunshine. She's the most colourful person you could meet. But she was just like, look, not everyone's going to be comfortable. Not everyone's going to be like me and want to wear head-to-toe colour. But you can just have, and I loved this, because she said yellow is a really cheerful colour, but I would never really wear yellow. I don't think it doesn't suit me.
Yeah.
But she said, just have a yellow mug or have some, like maybe like a screensaver of some daffodils or something, and that will have the same effect.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So don't wear it, just bring it in another way.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a way to cheer you up.
Well, because the other thing is, can I talk to you about red lippy?
Yeah.
Because I love the idea of red lippy, right? And I've got several red lipsticks.
Yeah.
And I quite often, you know, if I'm going somewhere, I'll think, I'll put red lipstick on. And I put it on, and then sometimes I end up wiping it off again because I'm not quite brave enough to wear it.
Do you? You should wear it.
And yet whenever I wear it, people say, oh, wow, you look great.
Definitely. A lipstick does.
But there's something about it that's so bright that's like, but actually it really does brighten up your whole face.
It does. I had my nails done just before Christmas. It was actually a present. I don't very often go for a manicure, but I went for a red, kind of like a sort of darker red, but it felt really, really nice. And then I was like, I don't want to take this off after Christmas. And it was kind of chipping. So I just redid it. And I've had nice red nails all through January as well. And it's definitely made me feel better.
And there you go. You see, hopefully that's just a few of the small ways that we can help cheer ourselves up in winter. And if our chat has encouraged you to try our magazine, which does go into things in slightly more depth than we're doing here, then you can take out an immediate start subscription at simplethings.com and get this February issue straight away. But thanks also to Charmwood Stoves for their support of this episode. I'm going to light mine right now and think of a few ways to bring some bright, cheerful colours into my house. And also to Bex for joining me in the hibernacle. Thank you, Bex.
Thanks, Lisa.
We'll both be back in the next one when we're going to be talking plans, hopes and dreams for the year ahead in our Wish episode. See you then.